Welcome to CADcast. I'm your host, Nit Sweeney, and what I want to dive into this week is a little bit of one of the questions that I get asked all the time, or at least I used to get asked all the time on TET support. My SOLIDWORKS is slow. And I'm not going to talk specifically about like debugging that, but what I do want to talk about is working with large assemblies. Specifically, what can we do to improve our SOLIDWORKS, improve our performance, and make it better? And instead of talking about this all by myself and going through some of my best practices on the PDM side and then relying on old SOLIDWORKS knowledge, I thought I'd bring in one of my colleagues to talk about it with me. So with that, let's jump into my interview with Brandon Elms, and we're going to talk a little bit about performance and working inside of large designs inside of SOLIDWORKS. Enjoy. So joining me this week is a former guest of InPod, now CADcast, I guess. Brandon Elms, our application engineer manager. He's out of Indiana, and he is an Ohio State fan just like I am. Which at the moment is not the most fun thing in the world for basketball. But Brandon, how are you doing?
Good until you mention that, I guess. We'll just look past it.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about March Madness, even though, you know, I love March Madness. Anyway, how you been? It's been a little while since you've been on.
Yeah, been a while. Excited to be back. Excited for the new version here of the podcast. Always a fun listen.
Yeah, it's been fun coming up with new topics. And I'm glad I was able to get you for this episode because I actually just had a conversation with one of our salespeople this morning. And she said, hey, do you have like a podcast that talks about how we work with large assemblies inside of SOLIDWORKS and inside of like PDM? And I said, no, but I really should. So lo and behold, a couple of hours later, now you're on the podcast and we're going to get this one up here this week. So Brandon, I want to talk with you about large assemblies because, you know, what is a large assembly? How do we work with them? People call us up and say, I don't know, my assembly is awfully large. Well, how large is it? It's 9 parts. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny when we talk about, you know, large assembly performance. It's a question we get all the time. In fact, you know, the initial question that you gave to me, hey, could you talk about large assembly performance? And for most of us applications engineers, yeah, all the time. Like we deal with it all the time because it is a very common question from customers. And I kind of go back to that, you know, with large assembly performance, it's a matter of perspective of trying to understand. And that's why I can never give an initial answer of, you know, what is a large assembly? What's a number? Give me a number. Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. You know, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to solve? So it's usually a more in-depth conversation with customers when it comes to, do they have a large assembly or do they have large assembly performance problems? Because, you know, a classic example is, you know, if we've got, you know, even thousands and thousands of parts. And, you know, we're doing multiple assembly level features and, you know, have all kinds of in context references. And we've got really complicated geometry. And, you know, maybe it takes a really long time to open, you know, takes 10 or 12 minutes to open or something. But if it solves every bit of our engineering challenges, right, like if it does all of the work for us, right, that it's got all of these checks in the background to make sure that every part's going to fit together perfectly, to me, like that's worth it, right? I mean, who cares if it opens 10 minutes and it's doing all of the engineering work for us, basically, if you will, like that's time well spent to wait that. But, yeah. You know, but oftentimes we'll get, you know, we have the initial conversation with the customer of that, or I put that in perspective and the response from the customer is, well, ours doesn't do that. And it still takes a long time. That's when we have problems we have to deal with.
Yeah, unfortunately, not every customer has like every macro programmed in, and there's, you know, they open up their assembly, they type in one value and 55 dimensions update and they're all happy. Like that's, unfortunately, that's kind of rare. And it, your whole thing of like, well, it's all relative, it's all perspective. The most common question I got on TET support years ago, and I think still the most common question you get is, my computer is slow. Can you help me? Okay. Sure. Where right. do we start? And then they say, yeah, we're trying to open this assembly. It's currently housed in a server that's in China, and I have dial-up connection, and my SOLIDWORKS is trying to render at the highest level, and it's super detailed. Right. Like, okay, there are a lot of things that are problems here. So yeah, it is all relative because, you know, for some people, 50 parts is a very large assembly. We've also talked to customers that it's in the thousands. It just varies. It depends on who you are. Like, there's a lot of factors here, but I think one of the biggest factors that we're going to come down to, and you know, I'll talk more on the, like the data management, how we want to work with it there, and I hope you can talk about the SOLIDWORKS perspective here. Mm-hmm. But having a good computer is going to be the number one thing, because if you've got a Chromebook with 8 gigabyte of RAM and the worst graphics card you can get, you're going to have trouble rendering a part, let alone a really large assembly.
Yeah, we've got whole teams of folks that really work on the hardware side that, you know, I think that'd be another great podcast for you someday of talking with those guys about
for sure
all the checks that we do at CATI and all the reviews that we do for hardware is really fantastic, because they go into a lot more depth. But I tend to focus on, you know, there's a couple, three easy indicators that you can look at from a hardware perspective that really contribute to at least what we'll call is perceived performance, right? So one is you know, your the chipset that you've got, and most importantly, the clock speed, right? Because we hear it all the time that, you know, oh, I've got, you know, a machine that's got, you know, how many different cores, 9, 10, or, you know, 8, 12 cores or whatever. And you're like, well, it doesn't matter because SOLIDWORKS is only using one, some processes too, but mainly it's all about that clock speed, right? So if you get a machine that's actually got, you know, slower clock speed, you've actually hurt yourself, even though it's a newer machine. So really focusing on that. You know, the other being, obviously you'd mentioned it, the RAM, right? How much RAM do you have to be able to open assemblies? And also too, you know, what are we currently having open at the same time, right? Because, you know, people are like, well, I've got, you know, 16 gigs RAM, or I got 32 gigs RAM. And then you hop on their machine, or you watch them, you know, if you're on site with them, and you see they're running, you know, 20 different high computing programs simultaneously.
Yeah.
And yeah, each one of them's probably struggling because they're fighting against each other for resources. So, you know, clock speed and RAM are two of the biggest ones. And also the graphics card, right? So on the graphics card side of things, that's usually about the, you know, zoom, pan, and rotate side of things. How do you interact with the model? How responsive it is? And they've made, you know, tremendous strides over the last couple of releases to get more of the work to be done from the graphics side of things on the graphics card itself, as opposed to on the CPU. So there's definitely been, you know, a lot of advances there. But those are the kind of the three primary areas to focus as far as like hardware goes, if you want to improve performance of the assembly. But that, honestly, most of the time when we talk with customers, hardware is yes, it's part of the conversation because we think that's the problem. And that's usually like an easy answer because we could just go buy something and that'll fix the problem. But that's usually not the real source of the problem. That's something that's a linear response, right? Which is, you can still get, you know, good results. But as far as like making a true change, you know, it oftentimes comes back down to like practices and what are you trying to solve and what are you trying to do, which is a much higher conversation.
I want to highlight a point that you mentioned really quickly about the graphics card. Having a great graphics card does not necessarily guarantee you better performance. I actually had a customer that said, hey, I've installed the RTX 3080 graphics card in my server to manage my files. And I told my brother that and he nearly cried, because my brother's a computer nerd. And he's like, I want those graphics cards. And he said, yeah, I'll just move them into a cheap server, whatever. Having the greatest graphics card in the world, Brandon, you just said it, it does not guarantee you great performance. Having a supported graphics card will get you at least on the right path. And I don't think the 3080 is actually supported. So if you're listening to this going, hey, they said get the best graphics card I can. No, get the best supported graphics card you can. That's going to give you better success. The 3080 is not going to do that. And you'll make my brother cry if you buy one and put it in a SOLIDWORKS computer.
Right. And it's also, too, it's relative, right? So if you get the best graphics card in the world and you're just operating with, you know, small data sets, small number of assemblies, it's really not going to impact you. It's you got to look at how does SOLIDWORKS perform for you, right? Is it, you know, are you historically, have you been dropping frames, right, where it looks jerky when you're rotating? If you're having trouble with that, where it feels like I click on something and it takes forever because it doesn't respond, or the cursor doesn't respond, like that's where you're going to get a little bit of help back with the graphics, those zoom, pan, rotate, highlights, those kinds of things.
So one of the things that I want to talk about, best practice specifically, is like when we're working on these files, I'm going to talk about when we're getting these files to work on them, what can we do to kind of help ourselves out? Because, you know, this was in pod, I'm still primarily focused on PDM. That's what I do most of the time. And people say, I've got a large assembly and I need to open it. So how can PDM or the 3D Experience platform, both are going to apply in this case, how can those tools really help me? And I think that the first thing that we can do is, you kind of alluded to it, like how many things do you have open? Now you're talking from like the program perspective, like I'm not going to try to render a video while working inside of SOLIDWORKS. No, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. But how many SOLIDWORKS files do I have open?
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I really mean like, don't check out every file. Inside of SOLIDWORKS PDM or inside the 3D experience platform, if I've got a 50-part assembly and I need to make a change to the overall assembly and one component inside of it, check out the assembly, check out the component, okay, and check out the drawing so you can update that. Check out 3 out of the 51 parts because now you're not pinging that database, because every time you check out a file, you ping that database, you send another query, and it's going to slow you down. Now, once you've got the files, now you're working locally, so now your RAM comes into play a little bit more. But it's that time of check out the file. And I've talked to customers that say, it takes me 15 minutes to check out a file. What are you trying to change? The thread pattern on the screw. What are you checking out? Everything? Well, don't do that. Only check out what you need. And then we can get into what can we do on the SOLIDWORKS side. But I think that's one of the biggest things is, how are you trying to open your files? How are you trying to access your files? Be close to them. Like, don't pull a file from China on a local connection on dial-up. Work on the closest server, so have replicated servers. That's an option too.
Right.
Or the 3D experience platform as cloud. So there's something you can do too. But I don't know, Brandon, am I missing anything as far as like when I work on these files, get the ones I need. Don't get everything though.
Yeah. So local is the big piece of the puzzle for me, right? So I think, you know, when you're mentioning the pinging against the database, that's almost, it's not a perfect example of it, but it's almost like you've taken one of the big awesome benefits of a system like SOLIDWORKS PDM that allows for, you know, local copies to be there, and you've thrown that out the window because you're now checking against the database, which means you have to go over the server connection anyway, which is what like a lot of customers, the one of the pain points for, well, we need to use a tool like PDM is, well, you don't have to worry about connecting over, you know, the server for the data itself, because you're, you know, you have a localized copy of it, right? So you're kind of, it's not exactly the same analogy, but you're kind of doing a similar task when you're trying to check everything out, is you're spending time over that slower pipeline versus your local machine, which is much, much faster. So as far as like data, you know, the data itself goes, local as much as you can. Like, you know, there, it's actually a weird process that if you look at the way that Windows opens files, there are times where we've seen if you actually have something over a network drive, you can actually copy and paste that to your local directory and then open it faster than opening it from across the network because of the packet size is different.
Wow.
The way that and it's not, you know, it's the way Windows does the stuff. So it's just the way that it processes the data. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, this is, I don't believe it. And then we saw the data and saw it happen in person. It was like, this is crazy. So having stuff local is so much better from having a, you know, from an open perspective. I think that's probably one of the first places to start.
It's the beauty of the cache model. Like, because people say, well, how does PDM work? How does the 3D experience platform work? It works on a cache model. We bring it down locally and then we're working on it locally. But I want to get over to your side of things now. So when I'm opening these files, there's a couple things we can do on open to make our assemblies load faster, like lightweight and large design review. What kind of impact is that going to make when we're trying to open up our files?
Well, that's by far one of the easiest things that a user can do. And it's just a habit thing that has to change to really, really improve performance, is to start with just opening in large design review. I mean, like, I can't tell you how many times, and I've done it myself, right? I go to open something and I'm pretty certain what the file is, and I open and have to wait for it to open, and then it opens and it's the wrong file because of the, you know, the file name, right? So I spend a bunch of time, right?
Use the preview.
Raise hand.
Use the preview in PDM, Brandon.
Right. Well, and this is something that it, you know, preview works great for that too, that same concept. But like when you get in the habit of using large design review and using that as your primary open for larger assemblies, especially now that, you know, large design review has the ability to edit assemblies where you can actually add in additional instances. Yeah. You can do, you know, actually add mates, you can do or certain mates, but you know, a lot of common mates that we do, you can add patterns and stuff. A lot of work that you can do at a very high level is super powerful. So using large design review out of the gate is super powerful, because then you can or, you know, a lot of times too, it's, you have to open the top level assembly because then I need to dig down to a component or a sub assembly within the system that I don't remember what it's called, and I could use the, you know, search databases and everything, but I know visually where it's at, and it's much easier for me to open it up. And I look and I know exactly where it is. And I just want to get to that point to open it up from there. Mm. And so it's, if you use Large Design Review, you don't have to load all of that data. Because ultimately with you know, large assembly performance, you just have to look at it of what all are you asking SOLIDWORKS to do simultaneously and load. And with Large Design Review, it's just, you know, high level information, you know, mating type information and graphic type representation of the parts themselves and the subassemblies and the structures and everything. And so it opens, you know, super fast. So that's the first thing is practicing using Large Design Review to open. And then next would be, you know, starting to work into lightweight. So using lightweight, which doesn't load all of your feature tree data. It's actually one of those things that there's a change in, I want to say 2021. Maybe 2020. Gonna tax myself when we made the change, but
recently there was a recent change.
It was recent change. That's, yeah, we'll say recent, where the, we did automatic, expansion for lightweight, where basically when you, expand the tree of a component that was lightweight, it automatically resolves it for you. Right. Cause we used to be able to show, it was very easy, like in training and stuff, to show you how SOLIDWORKS, when you use lightweight mode, is not loading as much information because it's not loading all of the sketch data, all of the feature tree history, because you might not need that information, right? You got to ask yourself all the time, what am I trying to do? And it was very easy to show that because you could expand it and you would see, oh, look, there's no feature tree here. Well, it's there. You just have to load it fully resolved, right? And you load it fully resolved and you show and you load back. Well, now SOLIDWORKS does a really cool thing where because you're trying to open that in the design tree where you're trying to expand the menu, it automatically, instead of you having to force, hey, go ahead and resolve this, it just does that for you. So it's almost like it's, you know, it's a whole automated process, which is really powerful. It just makes it tougher on us to show, hey, look at how this is working. Cause as a user, you just don't know it. It just does it for you.
That's the amazing thing is there's so many things that are actually happening behind the scenes that make SOLIDWORKS and make PDM so much quicker. Like I had Will Kefauver on right before he left. We talked about what was new in 2021. And I think it was like 59% of the time that SOLIDWORKS devoted to the release was back-end stuff that the user, you don't see it. But it was like 25% faster to add files in PDM. To be able to say that that's true, but then how do you show that to a user? Well, I mean, my dad's been on the podcast 5 times now, and he said he could tell that difference. He's someone that's been using PDM for 16 years since he joined 3D Vision. And like, he can see that difference, but a new user's not going to see that. But being able to prove like SQL performance is going to help you if you're on the latest version versus if you're using old ones, well, old hardware, old software, it won't perform as good as the new stuff most of the time. It's all kind of that way, but the behind the scenes stuff, it's so hard to prove, especially to those users that aren't familiar with how bad it could have been or was.
Right.
It's so hard to say, trust me, this is faster. Okay. Why should I?
Right. And I see a lot of customers that still aren't seeing that same benefit or seeing the benefits of those new releases because they're not updating files, right? So like, they're like, oh, this takes forever to load. And yes, there's some back end that it does help a little bit, but mainly they're not getting a lot of the big benefits because they're not saving the files up into the current year, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not getting them up into the latest revision or the latest version of SOLIDWORKS so that you can really leverage that those speed enhancements. So like some of the stuff with, with large drawings, there's been some enhancements too that have been huge for that. And you know, a couple of years ago, you had to upgrade, basically get it into the latest version to see or use it at all. And now you can at least see older versions of drawings. But you know, there's a lot of those back end enhancements also require a good maintenance practice or a good system setup of, all right, when we get upgrade to newer versions, we're going to update these with some kind of, you know, task scheduler or PDM automation of updating files to the latest and greatest.
I have my own thoughts on that whole thing. Like I understand what you're saying.
I'd be interested to hear that.
If, from a performance perspective, you're definitely right because people complain every time, like, oh, when I upgrade, I have to open up all of these files. And then I have to get that little warning message saying it's an old version file. And I have to say, okay, and then it's fine. And people ask me all the time, like, hey, can CATI run that tool for me to upgrade all of our files? My answer is always no, and I don't know that you want to. The reason we don't want to is liability reasons. It's not, right. We don't want to be touching everyone's files. We try as a best practice. You guys touch your files. You do your work. We'll advise you. We'll give you our best advice, but we're not going to do those clicks for you because not good for us and it's your stuff. Like, you should do it.
Right.
But the tool itself, like, we don't want to do that. And I don't like doing it because if this is an archived assembly, if this is something that mm-hmm. I haven't touched in 4 years, I don't need to upgrade it. Now, I know you can run those tools on individual folders, and in which case I'm okay with doing it like that. But I don't think you want to run that in mass, at least not in my opinion, because I don't need to spend computing power and time upgrading an assembly that I might not touch for 6 more years, if at all.
That's completely fair. I mean, I guess the reason I bring it up has to do with issues where customers are having performance problems, right? So when we have issues where, and performance is all relative, right? So like if it takes,
it's all relative,
you know,
man.
However long, right? If it takes you 10 minutes to open and you're happy with it, I'm happy with it. That's what I always tell customers, like, whatever makes you happy with it, you know, what we'll be happy with. But if we're looking for how do we improve performance, one of those ways is to make sure that we're in the latest and greatest version and the latest and greatest of the file, you know, being in the latest version. So if it is a problem, it's one of those things to, you know, to go over and look at. And I completely agree. Let's not spend a bunch of resources and computing power. And also, you know, there's risks associated with anything you do. To bring that into the equation for something that you're never going to open, that's, yeah, I wouldn't suggest to do that. But if it is something, you know, that it's going to cause problems, right? Or if it's, you know, components that, you know, are things that are regularly used in other future assemblies and stuff like that, why not get it up to the latest and greatest so that you can leverage that power?
I've been toying with a why you should upgrade podcast, and I've kind of come to the realization, if I do a why you should upgrade, really that's a, hey, what's new this next year?
Right.
But like, why should you upgrade year over year? There's argument number one is take advantage of the performance impacts.
Right.
Because again, it's a lot of time that SolidWorks is spending behind the scenes that we don't see, but it's going to make your system more efficient. I can't imagine a scenario where SolidWorks says we're going to sacrifice efficiency for flashiness. That's never been the MO of that tool ever.
No. Uh-uh.
So that's why you should.
I can't think of a time.
If a customer is saying, like, well, you know, why should I really upgrade? I don't need to. You may not need to, but you might very much like the results. Even if it's not, like, I don't need to take advantage of some really cool new feature that I'm really liking. I don't need to use Treehouse View in SolidWorks PDM for the contains and where used. Fair. It's not that huge of a feature. I like it. Not everybody does. You don't have to take advantage of that, though. You can take advantage of the performance impacts, and it's going to help your engineers, which if it makes things faster, that justifies the cost, because if it saves your engineers 5 minutes a day and you've got 100 engineers, it's several hours of time that you're saving constantly. I'm not saying it's going to save you 5 minutes, but it could.
Yeah, we've done some reviews with customers where we've gotten that granular with files, right? And we've done upgrades to them and, you know, and then showed performance enhancement, like as far as open time of here's what it was when you were in your insert, you know, older year, and here's current year. Once we've updated all of the files and done these different things and look at this gain, and it was enough to say, okay, well, that's worth every penny, because it's, you know, you start multiplying it across the different, you know, engineers and I tend to look, you know, we talk about performance. A lot of the question is, well, how do I know if my assembly is performing well or good or how it performs? You look at like a lot of the assembly performance evaluation stuff that you can do. And you look at that and then you make changes and then you look at how it's impacted. Like, cause we get it all the time of, you know, customers ask us, well, what's wrong with this assembly? It's slow. And I say, I don't know. We have to dig deeper and find out. We're going to dig deeper and we're going to make changes. And then we're going to show you, here's the data before, here's the data after the change. Right. And here's the enhancement that you're going to get as far as the time savings there. And then, you know, you can, as far as like a business goes, you can very easily start to translate that across of, you know, customer, you know, however many designers you've got opening up files, they're doing it on a regular basis. And that's all part of, you know, their time spent is opening and editing and closing, and, you know, it can be a direct impact. So just upgrading can be a huge impact to overall, you know, efficiency of a team.
I refer to like the cascading stress that will pile up as like an avalanche. And sometimes you can see that avalanche coming. But in this case, this avalanche is a good thing because it's this first person saved 5 minutes and now the next engineer did. And then the next person did. And then the next person. And it's just that avalanche effect where it just gains momentum and it gets more and more efficient. Like, yeah, is every engineer going to go, this has saved me so much time, we should absolutely upgrade? Maybe not. It's not going to affect everybody the same. It's not linear, but it's going to help most people. And there are other things you can do, like turning down that detail slider inside of SOLIDWORKS when you're zoom pan rotating your models. That's going to help because SOLIDWORKS is solving in triangles. And the bigger the triangles are, the happier your computer is going to be. Maybe don't make things a hexagon, but you can do a lot to improve your performance. And I know we've got a lot of blogs out there, like how to help your performance, how to be faster inside of SOLIDWORKS. But like you've said, it's all relative to what you're trying to do.
That's the first thing I think that customers should and ought to do is try and label out or write out, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Like, what do I really want to be able to do with this? Then from there, start making your assessments of how does my assembly perform against those objectives, right? Because, you know, if you really want it to do all those fancy things we talked about earlier of having, you know, assembly level features that are cuts and having in context references and it solves everything and updates all beautifully, okay, that's fine. And you can get a lot of power out of that. But we know that takes time, and that takes time, not only your time to develop, but it takes, you know, a program like SOLIDWORKS time to calculate for you. So, you know, having that in perspective, and then, you know, if it's on the other side, we just want it to open really fast and I don't need all of that stuff, start going through, you know, there's assembly visualization tools that can really help with performance to then start to tell you where are those different potential problems, things like image quality, like you mentioned, which is really going to impact, you know, zoom pan and rotate. And another thing with image quality that we use a lot of times, or, you know, I know I use and a lot of AE colleagues of mine, we use as an indicator for how complex a part is. That's another big piece we didn't really talk about as far as like down to a part level. How much detail are you putting in to the part relative to what you're trying to accomplish and understand from an engineering perspective, right? Like if we were trying to design, you know, something, you know, for your apartment, like some shelves or something, but we were trying to design your whole apartment, how much detail do we need down on the shelves to be able to understand in the context of the whole apartment, right? Do we need every fillet? Do we need every, you know, hole that's in there, every piece of hardware? Maybe not, because we can do it down at a level of, say, you know, from the BOM side of things, we're going to put the shelves in. Well, we've got a separate BOM and everything for, and the detailed prints and everything for the shelves themselves. I'm not going to expect to open Nick's apartment and look at all the detail of the, you know, every single screw everywhere, right? So, you know,
are customers that do. We've talked to people that are like, yeah, I have this little screw in here and it's this super detail. Why?
Exactly. So
D-feature. Use D-feature.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Another great tool that can help improve performance is to bring the detail level down to a manageable level at the high level. So, you know, looking at those kinds of things really can help improve performance. Looking at the quality of the geometry too is another one we didn't really mention on. We get a lot of times of customers that get imports from, you know, potential vendors or customers of theirs, and the geometry is, you know, very detailed, but then B, you know, it's also can be bad geometry and causing headaches. Mm-hmm. Like we have that happen plenty of times where went to a customer's that the whole objective was that they wanted me to basically prove to management that they needed new machines, like new computers. And so we ran a couple of those tests and lo and behold, they were convinced because they got these files from their vendors and it was just, there's nothing we can do about it. It was these electromagnetic coil things. And the customer didn't realize they were doing it. Somebody had done it on their team. And then I had to explain to them what a speed pack was. And they had done that with the coil. And I was like, it's working great. Your problem are these three pieces of hardware that you use all throughout this assembly, which are, and this was like a big manufacturing cell assembly. It was these three or four different pieces of hardware that they had downloaded and used all over. And we changed a few things on those, and then bam, whole assembly worked fantastic.
Were they errors?
It was errors on the pieces of hardware that were, it was downloaded parts that had some like surfaces that were intersecting with one another. Oh. So we kind of like got rid of all of that and just created some very basic representations of that same concept and then replaced them out. And everything was fine. Worked great. But it's a lot of those things where it's just things you wouldn't expect. But you just have to evaluate the assembly.
Having clean and simple models, as simple as you can go. Like, we're not saying that you should represent everything by just a block. Like, I've got these bar stools sitting behind me. In the situation that we were talking about, sure, I could probably represent these as just like a giant box. But if it's important to what the apartment looks like, well, then, yeah, have the detail. But if you can simplify stuff, if you can use D feature, if you can, please God, fix your errors. I worked on support. Right. That's like 85% of TET support. My model screwed up. Yeah, you have a lot of issues with your surfaces. Let's fix those. If you fix that, that helps your computer a whole lot too.
Yeah. The errors is one that's like, I throw everything out the window until errors are fixed. Like, yes. You can't, because errors cause weird things to happen that it becomes a diagnostic nightmare of being able to understand. We had a customer that had that happen where we were trying to do some basic things for an assembly that was referencing geometry that they got from a vendor, and they were just convinced you couldn't use import diagnostics because it was just too many problems and it took forever. And so we ran import diagnostics. I said, let's go take a tour of the shop. And we did, walked around, came back 15, 20 minutes later. The thing was clean when we got back. And we said, all right, first thing, it's symmetric. So let's cut it in half, right? And cut it in half. And the guy goes, yeah, go ahead and cut it in half. And I cut it in half right away. And a lot of curse words and things thrown. And he was so angry because he'd been trying to do that for a long time, but it couldn't handle it because of the bad geometry. And he, you know, customers, that a lot of times they know how to do amazing stuff with when it comes, especially the model. He knew how to do a lot of really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out ways to work around it. And in turn, ended up spending a lot of time on it when if we'd have just dealt with the first problem, you know, the first geometry to start with, he would have gotten done way faster. Because he's got the speed to do it all.
I think that right there indicates what you really should do. If you're concerned about your performance, if you're having problems with your performance, and you have done your little exercise where you say, hey, write down what you're trying to do. What are your expectations out of this? Once you've done that, and if you're not meeting your expectations, that's when you should call CATI or your reseller and say, hey, help me out. Here's what I'm trying to do, and here's where I'm falling short. Let's figure out why. Right. And we're going to start with errors, because if your errors are wrong, one of the things that I like to think about is with DriveWorks, because I talked about that on this too. If there's a rebuild error, DriveWorks will try by default to fix it 3 times. So it will run through that cycle, fails, okay, fails, fails. That's 3 times. I don't know if SOLIDWORKS does 3. I'm sure it has a check, which means that every time it's just multiplying your design time up because it can't resolve that error. So until we resolve those errors, it's not really a whole lot. Like, yeah, we can fix things here and there, but your errors are going to be a big issue a lot of the time, at least.
Yeah. That's why when you say we get a lot of the customers who do call us, like when they're like, oh, we need something to happen better. Like, this is just not working out for us. And they maybe haven't gone down to the level what we talked about of, you know, writing out what they're trying to accomplish. But they say, you know, this needs to be fixed. And we ask them, have you gone through and looked at hardware, or have we looked at, you know, these errors and stuff? Well, no, we don't have time to fix that. Right. That's the one I get a kick out of the most is we don't have time to fix this, but it's the causing problems and causing pain to you, which is,
we don't have time to fix something thing. That's making us waste time.
Right. Exactly. It's because the amount of time that it's wasting is little stuff that adds up. Like, it feels like in the moment it's a little, and if you look at how much it would take to fix it, it feels like that is more time than it's wasting, but it's not when you add it up over time, over an extended period of time.
For sure. It's the snowball. I said avalanche earlier. Snowball is actually the word I wanted there.
There you go.
It's much less intense. Like, it's a little time here, but if I waste a second on this part and I use that part 50 times, hardware, we do that all the time, that's 50 seconds that we're burning. And if it's in 10 assemblies that's being opened, there's 500 seconds. Like, it snowballs so fast. So having clean models, having clean geometry, like actually what you said, I don't have time to not waste time. Is what we hear from our customers.
Right.
Then let's think about the time that we're wasting, see if we can clean that up, because that's going to make us a whole lot happier. But there's a lot we can do with our assemblies and with our large assemblies and even just our individual parts. Like, I don't think that there's there's no like, here's absolutely what you must do at all times, because it's relative,
right,
like you said. But I think that there's a lot of things we can do. Check out your files, but only the ones you need. Large design review when you're opening them up. Tons we can do. But Brandon, I think this has been a really good conversation. I'm going to let our salesperson know that we've got this podcast going up this week so that she can share it. But I think this has been a good conversation. Lots of things we could talk about. We could go for hours on large assemblies because there's so much you can do. But very informative.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick. Pleasure being on.
All right, everybody. That was Brandon Elms, our application engineering manager in Indiana. Again, dire Buckeye fan, but we don't have to talk about that right now. To talk with me about large designs and large assemblies and what you can do with it. So Brandon, thank you again for joining me, and I will talk to you guys next week. See you.